Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us at KMXT 100.1 FM for another episode of Talk of the Rock. I'm your host today, Dylan Samard, and joining me are Lynn Walker, the curator for the Kodiak History Museum, and local artists, or should I say local artist and author, Natasha Zahn-Pristas and Sarah Lowen-Donelski. How are the two of you doing?
Good, thanks.
We're good, thanks.
So, you guys are here today to talk about your Kodiak Collective project that will be very soon going into the Kodiak History Museum. Can you tell me a little bit about the project and how it got put together and when people will be able to see it?
Sure. So Sarah and I applied for a Rasmussen grant, and that was sort of the beginning of this project, and it was 2 years ago. Normally a Rasmussen grant is 1 year, but we were given two, and that was the beginning of us spending time collaborating, Sarah with her writing and me with my art.
So what was the process like for the Rasmussen grant?
Well, it stemmed from a show we did at the Kodiak History Museum. We called it Home and Away, and it was Natasha's art, and then I did short sort of prose poetry or short, very short essays, and we just kind of paired them, and we were thinking about what do we love about traveling, what inspires us, and also what do we love about the, you know, Kodiak and living here, and I think this kind of grew from that success.
Well, and it seemed like we had this fantasy that we'd be writing about away, and we ended up writing and doing art most about home for that particular show. And while we were hanging that show, someone came through the museum and said to us, "Have you ever considered applying for a Rasmussen grant?" And both of us sort of did like the eye contact, like, "Yes, we have applied and haven't gotten it." And then the next year they offered a collaborative grant, and we applied for that.
And this one was unusual in that it was for a 2-year length as opposed to a 1 year.
So go ahead, sir.
Well, that was because of the COVID pandemic. They just gave the artists some grace and said, "We understand that this may take a little more time." And right. For us, trying to see these kind of far reaches and planning trips around weather and flights and skiff trips, it was really, and also fishing season and the school year and work, that was really, we were grateful for the extra time.
We needed the 2 years, I think, to pull things together.
And Lynn, how did the museum get involved?
Yeah, so Natasha and Sarah approached me in the fall. It was in the fall, and asked if we would host, if the museum would host their show, or other ways to get their show out into the public, because at that time the museum was closed. But it worked out, and so we are opening it this week. So that's kind of how the museum got involved.
Well, congratulations to you both. I want to ask you, tell me a little bit about how you got from the project described in the grant application to the project that you have now today.
Well, I think we wanted to kind of focus our attention on the elements that, like the natural beauty and the landscape and the history of this archipelago, which is, you know, there are more than 100 islands, and so many of us don't venture far beyond even the city of Kodiak. So we were thinking, how can we capture the feeling of some of these places? And then we realized, too, it's very hard to get to some of these places. It's pretty humbling to realize that for thousands of years, people have been traveling between them. But for us, it was... you know, we just felt really lucky to make it to a few of the farther.
We've barely scratched the surface, right, in this archipelago. So we're so lucky to have been able to get to the places that we did go to, but absolutely, like, scratching the surface of what's out there.
Yeah. Can you tell me a bit about the islands that you did visit and what sort of, I mean, I know that there are a series of short essays about these locations, as well as some artwork of the places. And I know that you didn't have the opportunity to visit every one of them. What I want to ask is, were there some that stood out to you, and were some easier to write about or to portray artistically than others? And why or why not was that the case?
Well, I'd say absolutely those places that we did make it to, like Sitkalitik Island, it was so gorgeous and inspiring that we kind of came home and immediately had art and had writing. And then some of the islands that we didn't get to visit, I really enjoy research, so it was a lot of researching and then writing from that.
Well, and we found that some places, things just came out of us. Like, it was such a spectacular experience that we both came home and did that work. Other times, one of us might lead off with either writing or artwork and then pull in the other person to try to make those things go together. Because unlike our first show, for this show, they're literary broadsides. So the art and the writing are on the same page. So we had to work lines of script or font around artwork. So it meant having singular elements of art that we might put on the page, or moving lines of Sarah's text to fit on the page. So some were easy, some were a struggle.
Well, it sounds like in that regard that the two, could it be said that the two of you were inspiring one another as you worked on the project?
Absolutely.
That was a fun part of this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Challenging too, to get, you know, dozens of pages down into a single page, or to try and write about a place and just have one page to do it. But I really enjoyed when we were pulling art onto it on the computer and working on that.
And that was an aspect that I knew would be part of it, but didn't anticipate maybe the length of time to actually put it together on the computer, right? So I'm used to making a composition just on one page, and this was having drafts of the literary broadsides on the computer, so we were constantly moving things.
Mm-hmm. Lynn, this one's for you. I know you mentioned that the exhibit was hopefully to open this upcoming week. Do you have a specific day in mind when people will be able to go and see it?
Yeah, so we're starting to install tomorrow, so that'll be exciting. And then we should be done by Friday, but definitely done by Saturday, so people on Saturday can walk in and see it in its entirety. So
I wanted to ask the two of you as well. The artwork will evidently be displayed in the museum. Are you looking at any alternative avenues for display? Are you putting it together in a book, for example? Will it be available for folks to see online?
So we do have a little trick up our sleeve that Lynn's helping us with. So we'll have it there in the temporary exhibit gallery for a month, a little over a month. But then we will have a QR code on the wall. And if people want to scan that, it'll take them to a web page where they can look at the individual pieces.
So in other words, if you want to see it, you have to show up to the museum at some point.
We would love that, because it's yes. They are printed on like luscious, gorgeous paper. Mm-hmm. And we have some of our treasures from our trip that we'll have in the room as well. And Sarah printed lots of photos from our trips, so we'll have in the back room, I think we'll have a little photo montage of our experience.
And I don't want to spoil our, I don't want to give anything away, but we have a map. It's kind of arranged around a map so that depending on the wall, you're reading about islands in the north or in the east or in the south, so you can kind of orient yourself. And
I think what we realized, we spend so much time in town, in Kodiak City, that we don't really know where other places are in this archipelago. And if you can sort of stand in relationship to town and face a certain direction and realize, oh, that's that way in the archipelago. Or when they talk about the south end or the west side, it's that side. And to be able to see where we were in relation to town.
So my next question, how did the two of you meet? And tell me a little bit about the story of your ongoing artistic collaboration up to the exhibit that preceded this one and up to the modern day.
So Sarah and I have a lot of friends in common, but we did meet originally. We both work at Kodiak College, and so we sort of overlapped there, got to know each other, and then sort of found out that we had all of these other people in common. And I think it just grew from that. I know that I visited their fish site a time or two. Yeah. What do you think, Sarah?
I think that sounds
right. So that's how you met, but when did you start making art together?
That was like on the fly. That was off the cuff, like, hey, I'm going to try to write this summer. Sarah tells me this. I'm going to do some writing out at the fish site. And I said, okay, I'll do some art while I'm, in town. And when you come back, maybe, I think we did a First Friday is how it started at the museum. We just thought, oh, we'll do it for one evening. And that was the fall. That was September of 2019. We had a First Friday. And it was like a roaring success. It was, Sarah was finally back in town from fishing. People wanted to see her. We had a full house down at the museum. And then when the Grasmus and Grant became open, we thought, wow, like they're actually aiming it at a collaborative project. So let's try to, from the very beginning, develop something that's collaborative.
And I think at that time, it was sort of, there was some political division and some kind of
COVID, like, do we do a bubble? Who's in our bubble? Like, what do we do?
Feeling a little disconnected, maybe from, or the community felt a little pulled in different directions. And so we were trying to think about what connects us all and what do we all love about living here. And so that was another reason for this project.
Another COVID-related question for you. I mean, travel has been all sorts of difficult during COVID, and that's if, you know, you're using the simplest and most common commercial travel. But getting out to some of these remote islands is significantly more difficult. How have sort of the conditions under which you've had to work during the last 2 years, how has that affected the work that you did do? How has that affected your ability to access these different remote places? And do you think it'd be easier if you were doing it today?
I think we really didn't take it for granted when we did get to go somewhere. It felt like this gift. So I think we were really appreciative because we weren't really leaving Kodiak, but we might make a point to get out to Long Island for a day or to Spruce Island or...
Well, and we were lucky enough that Sarah's a fishing family, so there was a boat. There's a skiff available, so that made access to certain areas easier. But it did feel like often people want to leave the island, right, to take a vacation. You want to go far away or go a long distance, and it really did feel like a vacation to be able to leave town and go somewhere even more remote. Felt like a treat, for sure.
So tell me a little bit about some of the locations that you visited and some of your fondest memories from visiting those locations.
South End, for me, was amazing. I'd never been... Well, I had never been to many of the places we went to, but the South End was, the rocks were different, the scenery was different. We had friends with us. We were able to do a little bit of a hike to get back to the plane. It was just one of our magical days, for sure.
We also got to go to Camp Island, and I had always wanted to see what it was like there just because of all the salmon around that area and all the history. It's just a beautiful place. So that was...
It was such a big lake that I kept waiting for the tide to go in or out and then was like, oh, wait, we're on a lake. We're in a lake.
And that was cool, too. I was saying, we can't write about all the islands and not go to this island that is so big that it's an island on the island. So,
yeah.
We were speaking a little bit before the show, and I believe you guys mentioned an incident involving squirrels.
Well, it was more of a daydream. Because I would love to get to some places like Chirikov or Tegetik, but it's a big trip, and it takes a lot of things falling into place. And so instead, I was just researching and getting a little obsessive about how adorable the ground squirrels are there and sending Tasha a whole lot of...
I might have had a lot of texts.
You should paint this. Look at these guys.
With a lot of...
They're hilarious. So we definitely, you mentioned earlier, if we could do more, I mean, there's just no limit to the beautiful places that we could, we would love to see.
Well, and I think we also grew in learning how to work together and how to collaborate. And like when one person was up or down, like we sort of alternated panicking about our work or lending support or changing things up. That came with time, right? And so I think it will only get easier to keep coming up with ideas.
Let's follow up on that. Tell me a little bit about your collaborative process for this work. I know you mentioned that at different times somebody would be very productive, somebody would be less productive, and you would in turn inspire one another by the work that had already been done for certain locations. Has it always been so organized, or was it a bit more nerve-wracking to get the whole project put together, or?
Do we put across like this sense of calm? We definitely had moments of panic, but also like super bright moments and fun moments where things fell into place. And I think that's the nature of collaborative work. Sarah's mentioned before that often artists or authors, it can be solitary work. And so to have the opportunity to work together and have someone to bounce ideas off of certainly changed the experience for me.
Tosh put up with multiple drafts too, you know, because I'd send something like, here's to get a feeling for maybe what art might go with it, and then seven drafts later we'd be like, which is this the right one?
I'd be like, my favorite line is gone, Sarah, where'd it go?
So I know you mentioned that you wanted to find a point of common ground for people in times where that common ground is less and less certain. And I guess in a sense you found literal common ground in that everybody lives and loves this island community that we all inhabit here. What I wanted to ask you is why you looked at the archipelago in the way that you did artistically, and if you would change any sort of way in which you evaluated it, or are there any sort of artistic mediums that you would also like to see exploring the different parts of the archipelago?
Well, that was a big question.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like I could have just kept writing and writing. It was hard to choose, like, of all this cool history, what am I going to focus on? And I work at the college library, so occasionally I would find, somebody's thesis from 1964 or 1970, and just reach out with a letter or an email. And I had several researchers who are now, you know, it's 30 years, but they would spend an hour on the phone with me telling me about what their time was like studying seals on Tagetik or studying birds in the Simitis. And I think those were just made me really appreciative of people's generosity. And that was true of our pilots and Setnetters that we stopped to visit. And
yeah, we really did get a glimpse into other people's lives or other times on our islands. So, yeah.
I wanted to ask you as well who some of your artistic inspirations were.
Well, this is much shorter than I usually write, so I read a lot more poetry than, I mean, I love poetry, but I read a lot of Mary Oliver and Brian Doyle and just poetry in general to try and get a feeling for how do they get that meaning into it in just a handful of lines, so.
And I learned that I needed to break my compositions up and into individual pieces so that we could manipulate those, so I love heavy black line and bright color. It comes from experimenting with block cut, with watercolor. So I think it was about honing in and narrowing down how I would develop the art.
So you've both mentioned how your art has changed for the purpose of doing a collaborative work, but I wanted to ask you as well how your art has changed from doing a work that is normally, I mean, you as an artist are normally doing art and it's just the art that's being displayed, but it's a two-panel display, right? You have art alongside writing. How has your work that you might normally do if you were just producing on your own been changed by this two-panel feature style?
Well, so it's actually one panel, so it's the art and the writing on one page. But I know for me, it's taught me to like revise, right? Like be able to sketch things out or move things around before producing a final piece.
And I think at the first show that we did, that sort of led to this, people really enjoyed having both writing and art together, and that was their response to it. Made us want to do more with that.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you as well, if you, say, were to go back to Rasmussen and find that you had the opportunity to visit a few more locations, which locations would be at the very top of that list?
Well, I think the Smitty's, right?
And Chirikov and Tagetik.
And even Shuyak, because our trip got scuttled because of weather. So even things that seem doable sometimes are not doable.
Right.
And that ended up being one of the broadsides, was just writing about how living in Kodiak means sometimes your trips get canceled, and that's something we can all relate to. So that was actually kind of fun to write and illustrate.
If you could expand the project in any way, would you? And if you were to do so, how would you go about that?
If I were to expand it, You know, I would love to be able to give people a book of this, to walk away with a book. That was a comment we got at our first show a couple years ago. And making a book is another Rasmussen grant, right? That's another project in itself. So we are content with being able to offer people, you know, a web page with some broadsides on it. But I think it is a natural fit for a book or a accordion book or some sort of collection like that.
Also, when we applied, we said we would possibly do 12 broadsides, and then it sort of crept up to 20. And I think Tosh was eventually like, "You got to stop, Sarah.
She might have made me panic.
Enough.
Yeah, so it did. Like, it did morph, right? On its own, it grew on its own and changed on its own.
Are you planning a future collaborative work, and do you think that you might try to do certainly a different project, but perhaps a similar grant style, and hopefully install at the museum again someday?
Oh, I think we would always say yes to some future project, but we don't have anything on our mind at the moment.
If you were to do something like this somewhere else in the world, where would you think you'd want to base that?
Hands down, Italy.
Yeah.
We're like, how can we get Rasmussen to help us get to Italy?
So what has it been like for the museum to work and put together these different exhibitions? I know that it's, frankly, exhibit art from artists is not something I normally think of when I think of some of the museums that I grew up going to.
Yeah, so it's been a ride. I just came to the museum in August, and so it was my first week at the job, and they're like, oh, you have to have an exhibit by December. And then in the process, Natasha and Sarah approached me, and so it was kind of overwhelming, but it's been fun. The museum is trying to, as we move forward in our new exhibit model for our temporary exhibits, we want to leave space in our calendar and space in our museum for contemporary artists to show their work. Because I know a lot of grant requirements require having shown your work previously to the public. And so we're trying to kind of move from like our history bubble to a more community center style institution where we do show off the many talented people we have living in Kodiak. And so this is our first kind of venture with that, and it worked out perfectly with Natasha and Sarah. It was a little, we weren't sure if we were going to be open in May, and so it's really nice that it all kind of fell in line, and I'm really excited to install with you guys this week. We took down the previous exhibit, Hunt, Fish, Gather, Grow, on Saturday, so you have a blank canvas.
Excellent. Well, we're appreciative of having a local space that is professional, and it is something where we can say, you know, we had a professional show installed at a local museum, mm-hmm. and we're excited and appreciative of that, so thank you.
Yeah.
Are you looking for other venues in the community to display this kind of work?
Well, it was a discussion we had early on, that the history of a literary broadside is that it's accessible art, it's graphic, visual image and text on the same page. It might be, you know, glued to a wall or a telephone pole, that it is something that's available to the public. But we have a couple issues, like it's paper and we live in a rainy climate. And with COVID, we just didn't know what to do or where to go. So we were glad that the museum was there for us.
And from the museum's perspective, this is, the museum was involved as well with the upcoming display of the Asphalt Art Project. I wanted to ask you if you were planning any other exhibits that folks either can or can't know about yet, and what sort of the schedule is going to be like for that.
Yeah, so we'll have the Kodiak Collective show up through June 8th. And then after that, we are finally having our COVID exhibit, Making History Day by Day. It's finally going to be in our museum through the summer. And then in August, we hope to debut a new exhibit that we are collecting proposals for right now, actually. But a lot of fun things. So you mentioned the asphalt art. And so we're not going to have a display or anything like that associated with that project, other than we've been helping the city of Kodiak to plan the project, and it's going to be right outside, so people can stand on our porch and look at some cool new art as well.
Back to our artists, I wanted to ask you, besides from, you know, the big Kodiak Island where we're all presently sitting right now, if you were to recommend to somebody one island that you guys had the opportunity to visit, which one would it be? Oh, barring near Ireland, too.
Well, I think, and I might be stealing Sarah's island, too, but Spruce Island was amazing. It was a calm oasis, and I enjoyed the day that we spent there. It was surprising to me that we could go to a variety of places, and they all felt different. And Spruce Island is one that really stood out for me.
And we had a beautiful day on Sitkalitik Island at Rolling Bay. And that was sort of a place where I grew up in Old Harbor, and we would take family skiff rides there occasionally. And it's just beautiful. And I think that's such a good reminder when you get somewhere that feels so different, and yet you're still on your, you know, on your island, but you realize the rocks are different and the what's growing is different and your view is different. That just really renews my love for Kodiak.
I wanted to ask you a little bit about your process once you got to the island. Would it be the sort of situation where you might be there for all of 15 minutes and then come running back to the skiff if it's like really windy and rainy? Were you picnicking on these islands? Were you spending hours at a time just sitting and enjoying the sounds and the sights and smells of nature?
I should have mentioned this earlier. Tosh is the best picnic packer. That's the whole reason for this collaboration. She brings all the goodies, the chocolate and the cheese. And when we were going to Shuyak, the lasagna that we just ate on the beach out at Passaic Shack because that trip got canceled. But, you know, it was walking and sketching and writing. And
some days we had like the time and space to sit and spend that sort of fantasy artist on the beach time, and other days it was more quickly paced, or we had family members with us and it was a picnic day somewhere and we had to watch the tides. So I think we had a nice mix of time away and then busy interactive time.
We're just about out of time here, but on a closing note, do you guys feel that you will be going back to some of these places or going out to new ones outside of the project?
Absolutely.
I sure hope so.
Yeah. And we'd just love to invite people to the museum starting on Saturday to see our broadside exhibit. And thank you for interviewing us. Thank the museum for hosting us. And
maybe going will inspire you to plan some of your own adventures this summer.
And lastly, I wanted to ask the museum hours, just so folks know.
We will be open, so we're open Wednesday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
All right. Well, I wanted to thank you all so much for joining me. This has been another episode of KMXT 100.1 FM's Talk of the Rock. Joining me have been Lynn Walker, the curator for the Kodiak History Museum, and author Sarah Lohman-Danelski, and artist Natasha Zahn-Priestess. Thank you all for coming on.
Thank you for having us.